The following program is brought to you by Podcast One Sportsnet.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Save big money on your entire roofing project now at Menards. Protect your home for years to come with Owens Corning Architectural Shingles. They offer long-lasting performance while providing ultimate protection with a 130 miles per hour wind rating and limited lifetime warranty. Choose from over 50 options of Owens Corning shingles in-store and on Menards.com. And check out more of our great deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
This is an exclusive presentation of Podcast One Sports.
What up? This is Robert Ory.
Or a three-point. There is it.
You might know me as Big Shot Bob.
To Ory for three.
What's going on, Big Shot Bob?
Robert Ory from downtown.
Now that's making a statement.
Good morning. It's the Big Shot Bob podcast. The one-armed man, Brandon Harper. I'm Rob Jenners.
Early in the morning.
That is seven-time NBA champion, fully clothed, Robert Ory. We're starting early today, so I text Rob, hey, we can go whenever you're ready. And he's like, well, unless it's Ory after dark, you need to give me 10 minutes. And I'm like, excuse me? He's like, I'm getting dressed. I'm like, oh, yeah, okay, let's give that man his 10 minutes.
That man trying to have a new demographic of fans.
Hey, they didn't wrong with that.
Yeah, this is the Robert Ory OnlyFans page, which we started this week. We're taping early because you're traveling. Where are you headed, man?
Heading H-Town, baby. H-Town to Cali, like Robert Ory.
I like it.
That's Z-Bo, man.
Z-Bo, that's right.
Yeah.
That's Z-Bo. Hey, it's so funny. Every time I go to Cali, you know, my son runs this spot, and he makes him play that song. And the last time I was in Houston, and, you know, it was this girl, white girl, stood up on a table and started rapping the whole song. I'm like, wow.
Damn.
Go white girl. It was funny, man. They love that song in Houston. And I don't think only three people knew that the song was talking about me. that show you how either old I am or how young that crowd was.
You and two other people.
Would you consider yourself an old head as far as the NBA goes?
I'm right there on the cusp.
You're getting close, right?
Yeah, I'm getting close.
Because I think I hear, and the reason I ask, we're going to talk about it a little bit later, but Chuck and Durant got into it. And
again?
Yeah. And that's a pretty consistent theme. But he has, I don't know. I think sometimes Chuck likes to throw chairs at people when he doesn't really have a lot of ammunition. And I think this might have been one of those cases. But I have so much audio this week to get to, so we're going to get to all of that. But I ask because a lot of times you guys in your era, like Shaq, Chuck, they get called old heads in the NBA. And you're like, well, they were playing damn near 12, 13 years ago. They can't be that old. So
yeah. Nah, they are old heads, though.
Yeah. I think it officially falls out of play when there's nobody in the league that you played against.
Okay, that's a good line of demarcation. I like
Chris
that.
Chris Paul.
Yeah.
I played against Chris Paul, LeBron, KD, Carmelo. So once those guys leave, I am officially an old head.
That's it. I didn't realize KD was he in? He was obviously OKC, I guess, right?
When he was Seattle. 07 Seattle He's before they Seattle. Became OKC.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Before they moved.
Yeah. Huh. Well, that's crazy.
Oh, I guess I'm trying. Was Westbrook? I think
Westbrook was 09.
Yeah, he came in the year I left. Okay. So yeah.
All right.
Dwight Howard. I think Dwight Howard.
Yeah, Dwight was there in 04.
Well, Dwight would be. Yeah, Dwight would be
04.
There.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you're going to Houston. You're doing something for the Rockets.
Yes, it's a draft day. Teams always celebrate their drafts in different ways, and the Rockets are really trying to get some fanfare behind their draft. So I'm actually going for the draft, and then we're going to do a golf outing, and then we're going to do a Memorial Hermann dinner. Memorial Hermann is one of the top hospitals in Houston. And so we're going to do a little dinner. So I'm just being there for a week and enjoy my kids and be back on Tuesday.
Good for you, man. That's cool.
Oh, I'm a grandson. I forgot about that. Sometimes I forget I'm a grandfather because I still look good, you know.
Maybe that is what qualifies you as old head. You've got a grandkid. So
do you, like, because one thing I've heard about Houston, you know, every city has its, you know, food spots. And, you know, I've always heard about the Turkey Leg Hut. Is that a place that you go often or have you been? How is it?
No, I haven't. I haven't been. Only time I eat turkey legs when I go to Disney.
Oh. Yeah, that's right. And that turkey leg costs like $15, by the way. That shit ain't cheap at Disney, man.
Houston has a lot of great spots to eat, though. I usually hit a steakhouse when I go to Houston.
Makes sense.
Steak? You want to go to steak? What you go to Steak 48?
No. I used to go to Steak 48.
He goes, please.
I like Steak 48, but my wife stopped letting me go to Steak 48.
Why is that?
Too expensive?
Hey, no, it just be a lot of
good-looking
women.
The bar gets crowded. Yeah. Let's just say the bar gets crowded.
Yeah. It's definitely not too expensive because I know people who have, you know, pretty good jobs and make decent money who go often. So Rob can
don't
go.
Get me wrong. Yeah, Steak 48 is good, but I go to either Vic and Anthony's or a Papa Steakhouse or something like that, you know, where it's more of, it's like where the old heads go.
The old heads, that's right.
So you're saying all the young things at Steak 48?
Yeah, that's for the younger crowd.
Note to self, stay at Steak 48.
When I go to Houston, it's like, I have to get me a steak, man. I always have to go to a steakhouse.
Yeah.
And I told my wife this time, I said, I got to go to Papa Do's to get me a three-wheel motion.
Papa Do's.
Yeah. Because even though this is Cali and we're on the coast, they don't really have great seafood places here. That's the weirdest thing.
There's
no really good seafood places.
I don't know, but you know, y'all are big in the Mexican food and the Hispanic food. So,
yeah, very.
Whereas like Florida, that's where you get all your seafood.
Oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
Key West.
Yeah.
You'll never eat better seafood in your life than Key West. Yeah. It is just the best.
So, you say we're going to take the show on the road and go to Key West?
Oh my God. Love to. Love to. I've been to Key West in ages. But yeah, conch salad, when they're catching it fresh on the dock and making it there in front of you, out of control good.
So would you say the conch salad there is better than in the Bahamas?
Oh God, yes. Well, actually, it's probably on par because they're fishing the same areas probably.
Because
Key West is, I think, 60 miles from the Bahamas or something. It ain't that far. Yeah. So, but it is good. But they call it the Conch Republic for a reason, man. It's good stuff down there.
It's so funny. When I first heard the word conch, I'm like, what the fuck is conch? You know, because I never had conch until I went to the Bahamas.
Dude. Yeah, conch is good.
Good stuff, man. Mm-hmm. Good stuff. Well, since we've last convened, the Warriors have won the NBA championship. So congratulations to Steph, who gets his first finals MVP, which I didn't even realize he hadn't won finals MVP.
Yeah.
His first finals MVP, his fourth ring. A lot of good stuff. I think that we thought, or at least I thought, they were going to win game six. I think a lot of people thought the Celtics were going to find a way to scrap that out. But Warriors closed it out in six, man. So congratulations to those guys.
Yeah, four titles in eight seasons. Years. They've been the sixth title games in eight seasons.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's amazing. That's a little mini dynasty that nobody ever talks about.
Yeah.
Think about it. When you talk about dynasties, you talk about, they call us a dynasty, and we only won it 3 years, you know, while I was there, out of the 7 years I was there. So, but then you look
at these guys. But y'all won three straight.
Yeah. But this has been a little mini dynasty. Sort of like what the Spurs did, put together. You know, it wasn't back-to-back championships, you know, forever, but they, you know, did go back-to-back once. But it was just like a little mini dynasty. Yeah. So I'm happy for Steve Kerr. You know, Phil Jackson.
Yeah. Steve Kerr, 5 rings as a player, 4 as a coach now.
Yep.
Yeah.
So 9 rings for Coach Kerr.
That's
wild.
I don't think you can be any more happy for anybody than you can for Klay Thompson. For a guy that missed 2.5 years. Oh. Like I saw the picture of they put it on Twitter. His hugging his trainer. Yeah. Bro, that had to be one of the most emotional interactions that you could have with any your trainer with you for 2.5 years through an ACL and an Achilles. That Achilles, but they say that's the most heinous injury that you can have because of the recovery. And the fact that he went from that to where he is now and winning another title, and most people thought this team is never going to get back, man, that's got to be a good feeling.
Yeah, I know for me, I personally say I don't think they'll be back because Klay wasn't going to be back full Klay. Even though this wasn't full Klay,
right?
He was still better than
he made a difference.
80% of the league, you know,
he made that's a difference how good Klay
was. Yeah. And that was huge for them. I'm happy for Klay. I'm happy for all those guys on that team, man. I'm really happy for Steph. You know, Steph has been getting dogged out. It's amazing how people find something to dog out good people, man, a good player. But he hasn't won a Finals MVP, and where would this put his legacy? I'm like, nowhere. His damn legacy is still going to be great. It has nothing to do with him winning the MVP. I think his legacy right. his legacy to me blew up even better when he said, you know what, KD, you can join us, and I'll take a step to the side and let you do your thing in order for us to win the championship. So, you know, his legacy blew up for me after that.
Well, I mean, Steph shows up at the parade with three rings around his neck hanging on a chain in a year that he won the All-Star Game MVP, Western Conference Finals MVP, and NBA Finals MVP. I mean, just out of control year for Steph Curry, and happy for those guys. I did want to play you a piece of audio from my favorite NBA player, Draymond Green, and only because I just love Draymond Green, the way he talks and the way he speaks to people. But while this is great audio and fun audio from Draymond Green, the message here, I think, is really cool and impactful. This is from the championship parade.
You know, what brings me the most joy, I know everybody probably think it's talking shit, but what brings me the most joy in winning a championship ever since I won my first one is seeing the guys who win it the first time. Because in your journey, you always want that feeling back. Like, that first time you do it, you want that feeling back. And the reality is you never get it again. And the only way to truly get it is to feel it through an Andrew Wiggins, is to feel it through a Jordan Poole, is to, you know, to feel it through an Otto Porter and Belly and Moses and JK and GP, D. Lee, you know, this ain't D. Lee first time around, but, you know, you feel it through those guys. And that's how you get that sensation again. So I just want to say thank you all. And as always, fuck everybody else.
Hey, Draymond, he at the beginning, he was Draymond. And at the end, he was Draymond. But in the middle, it was some real stuff. Real stuff.
Yeah.
You know, let me just say that. I don't know what Draymond been doing, but every time I won a championship, that shit felt the same. It felt great. Hey, it made me feel like I was on top. And I will say this, certain championships do feel better than others. My 95 championship felt different because of what we had to do. My 2001 championship felt different. And my 2000, it felt different. And to me, each one brings a sense of joy. Now, it'll be, I wish I would have had one of those rivals like the Celtics, Lakers, where you played those guys over and over, and then, you know, you probably beat them once, then lost and beat them again. It might have brought a different feeling. But for me, because each team was a different team, it just was a different joy, man. And the way you had to get to that journey was so different, you know. And, you know, I think out of all the losses I've ever had in my career, the 2001 loss to Philly game one, you know, that hurt more probably for me than the end of a season loss where you don't go to the next round, because I knew if we'd have won that game we went that series, we went 16-0, and that would have been the most successful team ever. And so that hurt. That loss hurt so bad compared to every loss I've ever taken outside, you know, me losing my last game in college, me losing my last game in high school. So I think every championship is still, to me, for me, I don't know what Draymond drinking, but it's always sweet to me. Maybe he had a brain freeze from stopping to get ice cream. I don't know.
Well, and maybe so. But like I said, I ain't never won no title. So, you know, I take the word of guys who've been there and done that. But, they talk about this title, and I can absolutely understand and see how this may be the best one and the best feeling just because of what your main guys had to overcome and where you were a couple, like, you were one of the worst teams in the league a couple of years ago. You were virtually an afterthought, and they said, well, the run for them is over because
the Warriors,
because Klay, how's Klay going to look coming back from these crazy injuries? Steph is hurt. Like, these guys are getting long in the tooth now. They're getting older. And then for them to circle the wagon and come back around and not only compete, but to win it again, bro, that's gotta be a good feeling.
And the crazy part about it is, you know, they had top draft picks and they didn't even help them. You think about it. Wise, but didn't even play.
He was hurt.
And he was one of those draft picks that was supposed to get him back to where he was supposed to be. He didn't even play. And so that lets you know how good that core is, how good that coaching staff is, but more importantly, how well they play together. Because, you know, we talk about the threes, but if you watch them play defensively, they got guys who can, you know, dominate the ball defensively. But more important, they play so well together. There's no animosity when someone shoots. There's nobody, you know, giving bad body language. On occasion when Poole takes a bad shot or two.
Yeah.
But they play so well together, man. That's why they won a championship. And great team chemistry.
And shout out to Bob Myers, the GM, because to be able to orchestrate this thing, and obviously this is where GMs make their money, in evaluating talent, you know, looking at guys like Kuminga, looking at guys like, you know, Moody, looking at guys, eventually Jordan Poole. Getting guys in that mesh well with the core guys that you have, and then seeing these guys take, you know, when they get their opportunity, take big strides, especially Jordan Poole. Like, he didn't just play well. Jordan Poole is going to make himself some money either this offseason or next offseason, because I think he qualifies like a rookie extension of like 5 years, $186 million. Nobody expected Jordan Poole to be like this. And to have that kind of equity paired with your three, That's what GMs get paid to do. That's what your front office gets paid to do. Evaluate the talent, see how it fits, and then it ends up like this.
Yeah. And also, let's give a lot of credit to Steve Kerr for putting Wiggins in the position to be successful.
Wiggins had a series, man. Yes. Yeah.
You know, he made him an all-star. You know,
absolutely.
Wiggins was left this close to being the Iggy.
Yep.
Sorry, Steph, you didn't win MVP again.
Yeah. Andrew Wiggins did his thing.
Hey, let me just say, if Wiggins would have won MVP, Steph would have cut somebody.
Yeah, Steph would have just been like, Silver,
come on, let me talk to you. I know you wasn't there, but somebody I got cut. I got to cut you.
I don't know what it takes, but shit.
But the thing about it is, we talk about how that MVP, you know, obviously Steph's legacy is solidified. But when you reach that, when you're in that level of atmosphere, it's you're always starting to kind of nitpick, because then it's like, well, what doesn't he have? He's been to all these finals. Why hasn't somebody this great won an MVP? And that's a valid question. So he kind of did need this, in a sense to where, dude, you wanted the greatest of all time, and you're getting to that many finals. You gotta, I would expect you to at least win one.
Well, come on now, let's be real, because, you know, KD at the time was a better player than him when he was on that team.
True.
And then he got cheated out of one. So let's just be real, man.
Yeah, the Iggy one was.
He got Iggy.
Sure did.
Yeah.
And then the one thing that Steph says is missing from his resume that he feels like I still haven't accomplished: Paris in 2024. He wants a gold medal.
Mm.
That's like the last thing I think that's on his shelf that's like, man, if I get that, I think that's about whole picture, right?
He's never been on an Olympic team, has he?
Well, he can't go back to college, because his chef would be great if he could get a college championship too. Yeah. He ain't no Magic Johnson now.
This is true. But Perk, so I guess Perk was on ESPN making the argument that Steph's at the table, as far as the table being
top 10,
Jordan, LeBron, Kobe, Shaq, Magic, Bird, make room for Steph Curry.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of people on social media that are doing the whole Steph versus LeBron now, because they have four titles. So the argument of Steph at the table, I think so. As far as all-time greats in this game, having won four titles, having accomplished everything we just talked about?
Right.
I think he's at the table. He's been at the table to me. For me, it's because, think about it. We talk about the table. And they show that picture. You got Bird, you got Magic, you got LeBron, you got Jordan, you got all these guys sitting at the table. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, he been at the damn table. He ain't had to win an MVP just to be at the table. You know, that's my whole thing. But it's just one of those times, man, where people just need something to talk about, man. They need something to critique, something to say about someone. You know, it's just weird. I forgot to say, Bird was at that table too. Did I say Bird?
Yeah.
You're right. But see, on the flip side of that, when you're talking about being, and this is just, you know, looking at the other side of this, when you're talking about being at a specific table, because when you're at a certain table, now you're starting to split hairs. Mm-hmm. Now you start, because it's not just about, hey, I won a title. Well, most of the people at the table have won multiple titles. oh, it's not just I've won an MVP. And Kobe got cheated out of maybe a couple of those. Most of those guys have won multiple MVPs. So now you're starting to split hairs in certain areas to where now every little bit that you add on allows you to ascend up that totem pole. So when you're sitting at a table with Mike, Kobe, LeBron, that finals MVP matters. Why? Because those guys have multiple. And when you got to get, when you're sitting at that type of table, you got to kind of have that to kind of push yourself up, because you can't just go to that many finals as a superstar like that, as an all-time great, and not win a finals MVP. That's hard for me to believe.
Me, I look at it like this, because we depend on others for these awards.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I don't really value them that much, especially the MVP, because they're voters that are voting on that award.
Mm.
And now you look down on this and say, who? Like, we already know Kobe should have won MVP that one year instead of Steve Nash. You know, let's be real.
Yeah.
But it depends on voters. And voters, they're human. They make mistakes and they have emotions and they don't like certain people, they don't like certain players. So I wouldn't care about all that stuff. I know back of your mind says you have to have it, just put it on your mantle to have something to show your kids.
Right.
But every athlete around here knows who's good and who's great. Think about this. I always go back to this. There is no freaking way King Griffey Jr., when he came to going into the Hall of Fame, wasn't unanimous.
Right.
That is the most ridiculous shit ever.
Right.
It always takes the voters.
Well, that's baseball writers, though. And baseball writers are vindictive pricks. Like, they hold grudges against people. Yeah. Like, basketball writers do the same thing.
Football too. Right. Football too.
Yeah, every sport, because everybody's – he might have went to the University of Alabama, and I'm from Auburn, I hate him. It's just there's
something – he didn't give me an interview one time, and I'm not putting him in the Hall of Fame for it. And it's like, huh?
Exactly. So there are emotions that come involved with it. So I don't trust any of that stuff, because, you know, when you look at – oh, especially when it comes to NBA players, mm-hmm. you know, there's so many great players that, you know, they let the media and the fan base and people, you know, make them think they're not a great athlete because they haven't won a championship.
Right.
To me, that's bullshit, because this is a team sport. You know, you need great teammates. You can be as great as you want. But if your teammates suck, you know, if your teammates ain't putting in the work to get you to over that hump,
mm-hmm.
it ain't gonna matter. Think about that. Why you putting in that work? You're not just doing it alone. There's another great player that's putting in the work, and his teammates are putting in the work. Okay, I had the best year of Charles Barkley. I win MVP. But damn, I just got smacked in the face by Michael Jordan to win the championship. Hey, I'm Karl Malone. I just won MVP. Damn, I just got smacked in the face by Michael Jordan.
Right.
And a lot of people have that honor. Yeah. So it's hard. And when people talk about, oh, he hasn't accomplished this. Yes, he has. Just as damn voters have not voted him into the position where he can have that many quote unquote accolades.
Yeah. So you brought up Barkley. So let's move on to that quickly here, because Barkley is screaming about Durant. Let me play you the audio here, and Barkley chips out for a second, so you'll hear that. But this was kind of Charles' take on KD.
Before KD gets that great respect from all the old heads, he's going to have to win a championship as the guy, as the bus driver. Listen, he joined this. That team had already won a championship, so no disrespect. That's just a fact. But until he is the guy on a championship team, we're not going to ever give him the respect, I mean, that he probably deserves.
Now, there's a old saying that people who live in glass houses shouldn't throw stones. And I feel like Chuck's house is made firmly of glass on this point. You know what I mean? You've been an amazing player, and to your point, won an MVP, got smacked in the face by Michael Jordan. At what point did Chuck ever take a team and go, I'm going to win us a championship as the guy? It obviously never happened. So for him to kind of criticize Kevin Durant for the same thing that he has literally had to shoulder for all of his career, it just seems very counterintuitive to me.
It's like he's trying to give himself a pass on the slide.
I don't know. Like, okay, aside from me,
I've been disrespected too around here, so I'm trying to, you know, fight for KD or put it out there. So if KD get the respect, I'm going to raise my hand and be like, oh, wait, you forget. KD still went in there and made that team better, because that team lost, though. Even though it had the best record in the league, they lost in the finals.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So KD came in. Okay, no worries. You know, let's be real. You tried to do it too, Charles. You did it too. You tried to join Dream try to join Clyde. You try to join all these Kevin Willis, all these guys to get your ring, you know, and this shit didn't work out for you. So, you know, hey, but I just think Chuck just, you know, I think sometimes he just talks and he's not really listening to himself and not realize you're talking about yourself, son.
Yeah.
You, at least KD has MVP from the finals. He has two rings and you have zero.
Yeah, I think he is. And that's the thing about the older generation at times.
Watch your mouth now.
Well, you said you were on the cusp. So you said you weren't fully immersed into the old generation, even though I don't believe that.
just call the man old.
It's just what it is.
7 in the morning, you're old. Oh, thanks.
Well, you know, most old people fully dressed at 5 a.m. on the porch. You know how that is in the South, Rob. Be fully dressed on the porch at 5 a.m. Then half the day done gone by.
Drinking coffee, haven't already read the paper.
Right. Yeah. But I think a lot of these guys kind of forget, and they put themselves on this pedestal and then on this mantle, like, hey, I played in a certain era where this, and this happened, and these things are not happening in this era. So I have a little bit more leeway in a sense to speak about things where it's kind of like, okay, to an extent that may be true, but when I look at your resume and I look at this other guy's resume, it's either the same or this other guy's resume may clip yours. Not to be disrespectful, we understand that you're older than him, but we're talking about the game of basketball here. And as much as we love Charles when he played, and we love Charles even more now that he's been on TV for almost 20 years, certain things you got to leave alone, dog. Like, KD, he did win one, and he did get to one in, what, 2011, 2012 when they were young? So they did get to one and got beat by Braun. But you got to let some things alone, because even though he did what he did what you did and you didn't win. He did what he did and did win. So at the end of the day, he got two. It's 2-0.
Yeah. Yeah,
so
to everyone's
true.
Point.
We all have our own path, right?
Durant's response, by the way, on Twitter, of course. All this shit is nasty. Another terrible analogy from a hating old head that can't accept that we're making more bread than them. It's just timing, Chucky. Don't hate the player. Good response. It's a good response. Is there, maybe this is an unfair question to ask you. Is there any kind of jealousy when you look at the amount of dollars that today's NBA players are demanding versus the days that you guys played? And now I know the economies are different. The time is, I get all that. But do you look at today's NBA and go, damn?
I do that every time, but I don't get jealous. Like, damn.
Like, yeah. Like, what could I have made?
You know? I go home and look at mama like, we should have been born 10 years later, 20 years later. You know, but it's, for me, I'm happy for these guys. I'm happy for them all to get their cheddar. For them to do what they need to do, because it's, you know, I look at it like this, it's better for the next generation. Each generation, you think about it, we went bananas when Big Dog got that contract when he was in Milwaukee. Everybody like, what the hell? He's making more money than what the team is worth. But he laid the path for these guys right here to get paid. You know, think about it. You know, we were just talking about for the show how we were back in 92 in the draft, we were all waiting on Shaq to sign so we can, you know, Tyrion after that, but, you know, Adam Keith, scared and shit, went out and signed before everybody and messed my money up. And so, you know, that's the only time I'm hating right there was he messed my money up. But other than that, man, I think for me, I'm happy for these guys because, you know, especially an athlete who has kids, who the kids inspire to be in the NBA one day, I'm like, well, go ahead then. That's going to make it better for my child if he just happens to get to his dream and get to the NBA. So I'm like, go ahead, make all the money you can make, so it's going to be better for the next generation.
Good for you.
Absolutely. Get your money, man.
Well said.
Mm-hmm. Hey, guys, Jay Cutler. Started a new podcast called Uncut with Jay Cutler. Most of you know me from the NFL. Some of you have seen me on Instagram, and some of you know me from the reality TV world. Each week, I'm taking you along with me as we discuss football, trending topics, and whatever's going on in my life each week. I'm bringing along people that are special in my life, former teammates, friends, and some new people that I like and respect. That's what you're supposed to do, right? Podcasting? I think I'm doing this right. Can't wait to get started with you. Go subscribe now. Uncut with Jay Cutler. Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, and Spotify. Or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, one more thing we got to get to before we get to Big Shot of the Week and this week's game, which is called Google Feud. Kyrie has reached an impasse. with the Nets. They're calling it an impasse, which I thought was a very PC way of saying everybody's sick of everybody else's bullshit. We've reached an impasse. Let me give you this bit of audio from Stephen A., and then we could talk a little bit about what might happen with Kyrie Irving here.
You know what I found out, Kendrick Perkins? You know what I've been told? Do you know that this brother Kyrie Irving last season would conduct his own practices? So when Steve Nash had the team on the floor and they practiced, they would finish and he'd go and get five guys and conduct his own practice. You have any idea how disrespectful that is to the players? You have any idea how disrespectful that is to Steve Nash, rather? He conducted his own practices after Steve Nash conducted a practice. I mean, he's driving them crazy.
So crap like that comes to light. And if I give Stephen A. credit in the sense that if he's going to go on TV with something like this, he's fleshed it out enough to know that this probably did happen. That's the kind of stuff that causes you to reach an impasse with a team that you want a max extension from. Have you ever seen that? Have you ever had a player just go, oh, you know, I'm going to do my own thing?
I've only seen players say, yo, man, can we run some plays? And the guy, sure, let me run some plays, walk through some plays with you. But I'd never seen a guy or heard of a guy conducting his own practice. We're talking about practice here,
practice,
man.
I'm like, not a game.
Hey, first of all, I wish practice. You would come say, yo, man, I want to run some plays. I'm like, dude, what the fuck wrong with you, man? What do I run some plays? For what? I'm like, oh, you trying to work something out for an AAU team or something?
Yeah.
You want to try to implement your plays for this team? No, dog, you don't pay me. The guys upstairs pay me. I'm out. So that's got to be funny, man.
You can only overstay your welcome so many times. We're going through this again with Kyrie Irving. And it seems as though, because we all know how great of a player he is. We all have watched him. We know what type of the kind of magician he is on the basketball court. And he may have the best handles in NBA history. But the guy, I just don't know. Now you're saying, you know, rumored that the Knicks and the Lakers. My thing is, if you want to reunite him with Bron in L.A., okay. But my thing is, you got to know where Kyrie Irving's mind is when it comes to basketball. I understand there are other things that bother us and other things that we want to that are important to us and we want to do. But at the same time, I don't know if Kyrie going to play this week and then next week he going to be on a missions trip in Egypt or Morocco or going to Mecca.
Or
I don't know.
3 weeks of personal time just to kind of get his head right. You know?
Yeah, I don't know. So you're talking about investing a full max contract in somebody who is going to be a basketball player 1 week and a missionary the next. I just don't know. Kyrie, where you at? I'm somewhere where I won't have any phone reception. I'll be gone for a month. See y'all in the playoffs. What do you mean?
Hey, whoever signs him or deals with him, they're going to put a lot of clauses in his contract. He ain't going to like it, but that's just the way it's going to be because at the end of the day, teams have to protect themselves too. I know we always want to say player this, player that, but if every person that was a player was in the business, like these owners and GMs, they were like, you know what? I can't do this shit. I got to protect myself because every guy's like that. You got to understand that. You just can't have free will and think I can just run the show and do what I want to do because this is a business at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And you want your life to be treated as business. You have businesses. Most NBA players that make that kind of money and that elite, they have their own little personal business that they do. Mm-hmm. If they had an employee act just like they had, they'd be like, oh, wait, I'm paying you. You know, this is your job. You need to do your job or you don't get paid.
Yeah.
But for some odd reasons, players think they're immune to that. And like, hey, no, uh-uh. I even though I didn't play, I still need to get paid, right? So, and then just say this. If I was a GM, I still sign him, but I have so many damn clauses in that contract.
Oh, I think it'd be like a novel.
A game,
yeah.
And it's not due to injury or death in the family.
Yeah.
You don't get paid.
Yeah.
I would tell you, though, somebody put out I guess it was like a 2017, I'm going to, for lack of a better term, call it mixtape, of him and LeBron in Cleveland.
Uh-huh.
Damn. That just, you forgot how good they were together. Mm-hmm. I mean, at least I did, until I watched. It's like 2 minutes of just mind-boggling highlights of the two of them going back and forth. And however much you watch that, you'd go, God, I'd love to see that in L.A. I don't foresee any situation the Lakers can put together to really make that happen that doesn't require them moving like an Anthony Davis.
Oh, I see.
Which
I can
they're
see it
not going
to
do.
I can see it happening. They don't have to touch Anthony Davis. I think between you know, whatever young players they have, and then draft
them. They got nobody.
No, they
no. They got no picks
but
either.
See, what I'm saying, what it would have to be, would it wouldn't have to be a straight-up trade between them and Brooklyn. It would have to be a three-team trade somewhere.
Only thing they got that somebody wanted is THT.
Well, Kendrick Nunn opted into his contract.
Yeah.
And they have their 2026 first round pick. So
they ain't giving that up, dude. They not giving.
You don't think they'll give that up for Kyrie?
You can't.
No, no.
How many picks
man.
Are you willing to give up man. Down
Trey
the line?
They give away everything for AD. You can't do it again, man. Because for me, you got to understand one thing: Bron is getting older.
But that's the reason why they do it.
Because but no, you know Kyrie, you can't trust him though to give away a pick. That's my whole point. So yeah, but you know, I think sometimes people. There's such a headache, and people think that they have, like, nah, we're going to sit here. Your headache is going to be so bad that you're going to need this BC powder. And this is my BC powder over here that I ain't giving none of my picks with. And so,
because then my thing is, what moves do you, if you're the Lakers and knowing that LeBron is getting older, knowing that, you know, your championship window is quickly, I mean, obviously you won one, but, you know, Lakers, it's not about winning one, it's about doing it again. You know that window is quickly closing. Well, what do you need to do coming off the season that you had to make sure that you can be a contender again? Because you can't have the season that you had last year this year.
Oh, no.
So what moves, what other splash moves do you need to make to get somebody in here that can help put you back into contention?
Yeah, you got a point there, but I think sometimes the Lakers fans will be like, no, we need – hey, I know we're living for the day, but sometimes we live for tomorrow too. And we need some picks.
Yeah. And I was going to say, what does it have to be a big splash move to make things work in L.A.? I don't necessarily think it does.
No, I
it's just got to be the right
pieces.
Move.
Yeah, they got to get some pieces. I don't think, you know, you can – I don't care if you run out and you get Kyrie, but when you look down the end of the bench, if Kyrie gets hurt, LeBron gets hurt, AD gets hurt, what the hell you got over there?
Well, the coaches better suit up.
You're gonna have to get some bench play, man. You know, you're gonna have to convince someone that has some heart and soul that's gonna make that team go to come over there and sit on that bench, man. Because think about it. Jordan Poole, what he did. You know, even though Andrew Wiggins is not a bench player, he was a starting all-star, but he was one of those players that contributed like that to make them go, man. So you got to have someone to make your team go.
Yeah.
All right, let's do Big Shot of the Week here, and then we'll get to our game. Big Shot of the Week, we're going to keep it in the basketball world, goes to a guy named Miles Copeland. Miles plays on a minor league basketball team in Toledo, Ohio. He's also a firefighter. In the middle of their game, the ref collapsed on the court. And the Miles kind of jumped into firefighter mode, realized the guy was having a heart attack. Gave him CPR for 10 minutes till the paramedics arrived. Made sure he was coherent, he was talking, and he was awake when they took him out on the stretcher. They resume the game, and he gets in there and helps them win the game. So not only did he save the ref's life, he helped them win the damn game. So that's just a cool story. So big shout to Miles Copeland.
Yeah, big shot. Hey, good thing he was on the bench because that ref probably was giving a bad call. You don't look at him. I ain't helping your ass.
Nah, you teed me up, man.
Yeah.
Good luck to
you. But think about that, though, man. To have the awareness to know what's going on, run out there and help the guy, and then continue to go get buckets after that.
Yeah.
Because most of the time, people are like shocked. Now that you know, paramedics, man, they got to have, you talking about ice in their veins for basketball? They got to have ice in their veins, man, because they got to stay calm. They got to give other people instructions because, you know, people always want to be looky-loos and stand over and watch, get people out the way, someone call 911, and for 10 minutes, you know, that's probably more minutes
kept
than
that man alive for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Dude had the ref had triple bypass surgery.
Wow.
After this. Wow. So he had a pretty big heart attack. If you have to have bypass, that's a big heart attack. Just a big shout to Miles Copeland. Yeah. And one question before we get to our game, which is called Google Feud. What does Lorna see in the motorcycle investigator guy with the James Harden beard? Like, how Lincoln Lawyer.
Y'all
both said to me last week, Lincoln Lawyer.
Yeah.
So I started watching Lincoln Lawyer. She's gorgeous. And she's dating, like, motorcycle James Harden with that giant beard and the gritty. And I don't get it.
Okay,
I don't see it.
Here's my philosophy when it comes to pretty women and certain men. They always say that the woman is supposed to be the pretty one. The man, that's why women, when it comes to what they're attracted to in men, this is not all women, obviously, but They're attracted to the ruggedness because it looks manly to them. Imagine a woman usually doesn't want a man that's in the mirror more than she is.
Good point.
So, and I'm not saying you date, you know, somebody that's living under, you know, the 101 and they just don't take care of themselves at all. But what I'm saying is that look is a look of toughness. It's a look of manliness. If I had to guess. So pretty women are attracted to those type of men just because of the ruggedness and the. Imagine him in the woods with a what they call the shirts today that the lumberjacks wear.
Oh, flannel.
Yeah, and chopping up wood. That's attractive to a lot of women because it screams man. That type of guy on a bike that screams man.
Hey, see, I look at it in a whole another light. Look, you look how see how petite she is.
Yeah,
how big he is. And he's a bad boy. She feels safe, man.
Well, yeah. That falls into women, what I'm saying.
Okay.
Yeah, a lot of women want to feel safe and have that bad boy. And she, you know, she look, hey, that's a bad boy. He's a gangster. You know, they got that. She want to dive. No, even though she can't deep dive into that world, she can stick a toe in it like that. By
I
being
don't get this. It, man. I don't. Tell me about you it. Went from you went from holler. Who is like well put together and surfs and he's in shape to biker perk.
Man, you ain't cute. You ain't handsome.
Like, hey. What? Like, I mean, just like, yeah, I don't know, man. Yeah. I don't, but you're both right. Lincoln Lawyer is a freaking great show.
I told you.
You're both right on that one.
It is
that
a wonderful show.
That blew through that one because that's a great show.
Once you start, you can't stop.
Man, it's good. It's real good. All right, let's get to the game this week. With all the feuds this week, we're going to play a game called Google Feud. All right, here's how this works. Have you ever tried to type something into Google, and Google immediately wants to try and auto-complete your thought for you?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying, Rob? You look perplexed.
I'm just looking like, okay, I'm analyzing this and thinking about where you're going with this.
Okay, so I've typed questions into Google.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to let you guys go back and forth and try to guess.
Oh, I see what this is going
on. Let's see if you can get the top three or three of the top five answers that came up from Google. So, for instance, question number one, we'll start with Robert Ory here. And if you can come up with the top three, hey, you get the point. If not, B-Dog can steal here. We're looking for the top five answers Google returned for. Is Robert Ory blank? So what are people searching for when they say, is Robert Ory blank? Can you come up with three of the top five there that Google returned, Mr. Ory? What do you think?
I'm going to say, is Robert Ory married?
There's one.
Okay. Is Robert Ory, is something, I don't know how to state this, because is Robert Ory worth whatever?
No, it's not up there. Sorry.
Is Robert Ory a seven-time NBA champ?
No, that's not on there either.
I got one.
One more strike.
Is Robert Ory alive?
Yes, that is on there. That was the number three answer. Is Robert Ory alive? Yeah. Okay. Can you get one more? One more, you get the point. If not, B-Dog's got to steal. Is Robert Ory... You're missing the number one answer currently.
Am I?
Yeah.
I think I know
what
it is.
Is Robert Ory in the NBA?
No, that's not it, man. That's not it.
I think I got the number one answer.
All right, B-Dog, for the point.
Is Robert Ory a Hall of Famer?
That's the number one answer.
Yep.
Is Robert Ory in the Hall of Fame was number one. Is Robert Ory top 75 was number two. Is Robert Ory alive? Is Robert Ory married? And the number five answer was, is Robert Ory good? Like, thanks, Google. Shit. All right. I guess so.
All right. That's funny.
B-Dog.
Mm-hmm.
Question number two here. You got to try and get three of the top five. What did Google return for? The 2000 Lakers are better than blank.
The 2000 Lakers are better than the 2016 Warriors.
That's one.
The 2000 Lakers are better than the 90s Bulls.
That's two. That was, by the way, the number two answer and the number three answer.
The 2000 Lakers are better than any team ever.
No, that's not it. One strike.
The 2000 Lakers are better than... The 2000 Lakers are better than... The 80s Lakers?
And there it is. Yeah, that's another point for me. Yeah.
I was going to say the Showtime Lakers.
Lakers was number five. Strangely enough, the number one return for this, the 2000 Lakers are better than the Celtics, was the number one answer.
I was
going to
go there.
Which I don't know. And then the number four answer was the Bucks. The 2000 Lakers are better than the Bucks.
Yeah, of course they are.
I guess because people were looking at the Bucks. All right, Robert Ory. We're looking for the top five answers that Google returned for. Most popular NBA jersey in 2022 is
Giannis.
Giannis is not on this list. No, at least not the one that Google returned.
Steph.
There's one. That's the number three answer. Steph Curry.
Doncic.
No, Doncic is not on.
What?
Luka's not on this list.
That's crazy.
Again, you're not basing it on sales. This is what people are searching for in Google.
Oh,
Google tries
ja.
To.
Ja.
No, that's strike three. You only got one. B-Dog, for the point, can you come up with one of the remaining four?
Most popular NBA jersey in 22 is LeBron.
That was the number one answer. LeBron James. Yeah LeBron James. Harden is number two. Durant is number four, and Jason Tatum was number five. So those were.
I wanted to say LeBron, but I was like, that's too obvious.
Yeah, well,
sometimes you have to go with the obvious.
Remember,
this is Google.
Remember how much stupid shit we alone put into Google.
Right.
Like every day, I'm like, Google, what is this about? All right, B-Dog, question four here. We're looking for the top five answers that Google returned for cost of NBA blank. The cost of NBA blank.
Man, this is a tough one.
Yeah.
Cost of NBA flights?
Well, no, that's not on there.
Cost of NBA franchises?
Yeah, that was the number four answer. Cost of an NBA team.
Cost of NBA arenas?
No. One more.
Cost of, I don't know if this sounds right, NBA salaries?
No, that's not on there either. Whatever. All right, what do you think, Rob? Cost of NBA.
We just talked about it, so I'm going to go with NBA jersey.
Cost of NBA jersey. Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
the obvious. Okay.
Cost of NBA playoffs tickets was number one. Cost of NBA league pass was number two. I guess people want to spend the money. And then cost of NBA season tickets was number three.
So, okay.
There you go. All right, Rob. Last one. Looking for the top five answers Google returned for. How do basketball players... blank.
This is a family show.
I know.
Go broke.
How do basketball
players
go broke?
Gotta be number one answer. Go broke.
Number two answer. Yeah. How do NBA basketball players lose money? It's number two.
I'm gonna say shoot.
No, that's not on there. How do basketball players blank?
Oh, how do basketball players? Get all the bitches? No, just kidding.
Oh, Lord, Jesus. That family show went out the window.
Hey, you better thank the logo. And thank Jerry was.
You ain't cute.
Oh, no, I'm just kidding, people. I was going to say that. But
that could be a Google search. I ain't even going to lie.
It ain't on there, but yeah.
It might say how do NBA players get cute girlfriends, but it ain't going to be bitches.
Yeah, well, you never know. Google's into some weird stuff. Yeah.
Hey, no, I'm just totally kidding, man, because, you know, sometimes a rapper me wants to come out.
It's true.
How do
basketball players blank?
How do basketball players go broke? How do basketball players spend their money?
No. One more try here, and then B-Dog's
gone. That's only my second one.
I know. That's what I'm saying. You get one more try. You get three strikes.
I get three strikes.
Yeah. You have two right now.
I got one.
No, you get two.
You got two.
I was joking about the witches.
It's still an answer.
All right, keep going. Let's see if you get it. Let's see if you get one. Come on.
How do NBA players... I guess on the flip side of go broke, how do the NBA players spend their money?
No, that's not it.
How do basketball players I don't know. This is going to be very random. How do basketball players sleep?
No, that's not it either. Yeah, this one was a tough one. Number one answer, how do basketball players get so tall? This is Google. Remember, it's stupid. Yeah. How do NBA players lose their money? How do NBA players stay in shape was the number three answer. How do NBA players travel? And how do NBA players run?
Some folk just ain't getting no sleep at night. They just up at 2 and 3 in the morning.
Wait, no, this is sound like a bunch of kids who trying to get to
leagues. Don't know anything about basketball and are punching it into Google.
How can I get 6'9 by tomorrow?
Can I stretch my legs?
Hang upside down like Major Payne.
Yep. Like Major Payne. That's right. All right, man. I know you got to travel, so we'll let you go. I'll leave you with the words of Draymond Green.
I just want to say thank you all. And as always, fuck everybody else. I love y'all.
Words to live by, Draymond.
Hey, it's funny how, I thought he was going to definitely talk about Clay.
Oh, yeah, we didn't really get to Clay. On my sheet.
He had a run, boy.
I'll give you a piece.
Who was drunker, him or Brady?
Oh, Jesus.
No, I think
Brady.
Brady.
Brady couldn't even stand up, but Clay done checked that woman, man. Yeah. He put her on her ass, dude. Yeah. That might have been the hardest elbow he threw the whole series.
So he rode his boat.
His ring.
He lost his ring.
Lost his ring.
Rode his boat, lost the hat. Rode lost, riding
lost,
his boat
that's
over.
Right, lost the hat.
Put the trophy down, doing a little Michael Jackson thing. And then running the lady over.
Yeah, checking that lady was everywhere, man. That was all over the place.
I thought he was about to tear ACL for a second. Like, oh, no.
Don't get hurt in the parade for all the things.
What's that thing that, oh, no.
Oh, no. No. Yeah.
What's the most foolish behavior you saw in one of your parades? Who was acting a fool in some of the parades you were at?
Did I tell y'all about the time how I held a parade up because I was so drunk and wasn't going to go?
Oh, no. I think you said you were late to one. I didn't know you were drunk.
Because I was so drunk. I woke up in someone's apartment, didn't know where I was. They held the parade up for 45 minutes. Oh, so I got there. So I was like, oh, shit, I got to go. I mean, by the time I got home, it was when the parade was starting. Oh. So I literally had to get a police escort.
Oh.
To get downtown.
So you were the most foolish behavior in it.
I was the most foolish behavior.
Well, that's good. That's a title worth keeping.
Yeah, because you got to think about it. It's like there's nobody on San Antonio that's ever going to do anything foolish but me.
Well, that's true.
So yeah, nobody on San Antonio. That takes out two championships. And the Lakers, you know, nobody was going to do anything foolish because there was no Dennis Rodman and there was nobody else on that team.
Shaq didn't do anything foolish during any of those parades?
The most foolish thing was watching Mad Dog dance. That was it.
Okay.
That was it.
All right.
But yeah.
I did like Gary Payton did the full J.R. Smith, did the whole parade without a shirt on.
Follow the show on Twitter at Big Shot Bob Pod for links to all our guests and all sorts of fun. The Big Shot Bob Pod is a presentation of Live by Live's Podcast One and Podcast One Sportsnet.
All this month, stream the funniest films for free on Pluto TV. Watch comedy classics like Anchorman, The Legend of Ron Burgundy, and Mean Girls. Or drop in for a Tyler Perry marathon with a Madea family funeral and Madea's witness protection. Pluto TV also has hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and TV shows like Get Shorty, Be Cool, Key and Peele, Comedy in Color, and more. And no contracts, no subscriptions, no fees, no joke. So download the Pluto TV app on your favorite streaming device and start laughing today. Pluto TV, drop in, watch free.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Save big money on your entire roofing project now at Menards. Protect your home for years to come with Owens Corning architectural shingles. They offer long-lasting performance while providing ultimate protection with a 130 miles per hour wind rating and limited lifetime warranty. Choose from over 50 options of Owens Corning shingles in-store and on Menards.com. And check out more of our great deals going on now.
Save